email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we've spoken to one of our guests before. It's Daisy Kelleher from Below Deck. Good afternoon, Daisy. But over the last few months, her personal life has had quite the turmoil after her sister, Bonnie, how are you, Bonnie, was seriously injured during a moped accident in Thailand. You're both welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So, Bonnie, I'm going to go straight to you because I've spoken to your sister before. So I'm looking at you. You're literally missing a bit of your skull.
Yeah, I think that's the most shocking bit of it, even for me. There's like a little puzzle piece missing. And besides that, I look relatively normal.
Yes.
My eyes a bit droopy. But yeah, all things considered, I'm still here. That's what I keep going back to.
Yeah, but so at that spot there, it's what they say down the country, a dint. There's a big dint, in your head.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's no bone there.
No, nothing. It's sturdier than you'd think. When I came home, I was a bit worried, even just going outside, because you know it's just bone missing. But actually, you're kind of fine. Yeah.
You can. No, you just hit it there. Daisy just hit it.
But I'd like to pat it.
I was reading something over the weekend. Your brain has no touch receptors. When you touch your brain, you can't.
Well, I should have read up about it, to be fair. I can just hear it.
Yeah, you can't, but you can't feel it.
Yeah, I can't feel it. That's, I should have actually learned about this. I just learned by living it. I was like, I just thought it was thick skin or something.
No. Your brain has no receptors in it.
Yeah, because you can't feel it when it's happening.
Then if you hit your head or something, you don't want your brain to feel it, I guess.
I don't know why it is.
I don't know if it protects you. It probably just doesn't have a need. Anyway.
Listen, none of us know. None of us are neurologists.
Yeah, exactly.
I could have my theory in that, because it's shaking around your head all the time. So if it had pain receptors, it'd be, a pain, literally.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've established that you have a bit of your skull missing anyway. So let's find out how it happened then. So you went to where first? Bali first, is it?
Yeah, so I was living in Bali about a year and it's quite busy and lots of friends coming and going. So I was like, right, I need to get a job and I need peace. I'll go to Thailand, I'll be good. And then just one night, a friend of a friend was leaving. So I said, okay, I'll go out. And we went to a beach party. And that's literally everything I remember. So
I'm just going to move that up.
Sorry.
There you go. No, it's not nothing to you.
And yeah, so that's kind of all I remember. And then coming to in the hospital ages later. So apparently a guy that I was hanging out with had offered to give me a lift home. And yeah, it's kind of normal there. Everybody's on bikes. You don't really have cars even. So it sounds...
So it's a moped, not a moped, bike.
A moped, as far as I know. And that was it. And just next minute, everybody's getting calls and I'm in hospital. But I don't remember the beginning. So I think it was more of a shock for everyone else. Even my friends back home weren't sure, whether I was alive or whatever. But for me, I was just kind of slowly coming out of it, accepting...
Right.
The new norm, which was just me being in hospital.
And you'd gone to Thailand. And this friend wasn't a best friend. They were just somebody you knew.
I just met them.
Okay, right.
But it's
the reason I say that is that you didn't have a support network there.
No. Actually, I was there traveling alone. Obviously, I'd made friends. But luckily, I did have a friend that I knew from Bali was visiting. And we spent all our time together. So she's the one that kind of filled in the gaps. She was like... Okay, she's grand, she's getting a lift home. And then when I wasn't home the next day, she started worrying. And luckily, it's a very small island, so she found me in the hospital. Had it not been for that, because the guy, I think, called an ambulance but left. So
right.
Had it not been for that, I would have been in big trouble, apparently. The hospital wasn't equipped.
So does your memory stop? Where do your memory stop? Do you remember the day of the accident?
I kind of. Even then, only about a month after it, when I was home, I spoke to my friend and asked the details because I kind of didn't want to know. And when she reminded me, I was like, oh yeah, I remember going out that night. And I vaguely remember being okay to leave, but I don't really remember what I was wearing. So no, it kind of erased that day's memory a bit.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird one.
So how did you find out, Daisy, then?
So I got a message from someone on Instagram. I was in Cornwall, which was kind of weird because I don't read all of my messages. So luckily I had read this message and just said, your sister's been in an accident in Thailand.
Right.
So And then I was like, what kind of accident? And then she was like, a bike accident. And she's like, I have no details, just that there's a head injury. So that's kind of all we got.
So you had to tell your parents?
Yeah, so I called my parents and told them, and then it just went straight into, because we had no information, to just find out what hospital she was in, book flights, hotel, and yeah, just get out there so we could find out what happened.
But from the message on Instagram, you realised that it was serious.
I mean, you know, it was the head injury.
Yes,
I think accident, I didn't think it was serious. Then, you know, my mind didn't go straight. I mean, that could have been anything, you know, broken limbs or anything. But it was when there was a head injury, yeah. It was obvious that someone was going to have to go out pretty quickly.
It must be a nightmare call to get that when you're...
It's pretty stressful. Yeah. And, you know, luckily we had the means to be able to fly out there. You know, my parents are semi-retired, so they didn't, you know, necessarily have got job commitments or... like children were older, like financially they were able to book flights out there, so we were in a lucky position, because I couldn't imagine, you know, not being able to go out there and physically be there to assess the damage and what needed to be done.
And what did they share with you about encountering Bonnie for the first time in the hospital?
Well, initially it was kind of triage. So initially it actually seemed like good news. It was like, okay, she had a brain bleed, they've but like sorted it, so she's stable. But kind of every day was a bit of a roller coaster, because you get one day was good news and then the next day you'd get, you know, bad news, which might be like she has broken limbs or she has a punctured lung, and then the next day it would be like, okay, she's stable again, and then you get more bad news again the next day, like she can't feel her arm, her eye isn't opening. So it was a bit of a roller coaster, and because they were just like in initially the hospital, and for quite a while just cared about her head, because obviously, you know, it doesn't matter if she loses her eye.
Prioritize things, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a bit of a weird one that, you know, it was like, oh, okay, she's fine, she'll, you know, she'll probably be out soon, and then the next day, like, she had to have another surgery, which we wouldn't know about.
And a small island. So what were the hospital facilities like?
Well, so I was on Koh Tao, which is a very tiny island, like 30 minutes driving. They moved me on a ferry to Koh Samui, which is where mom and dad found me. So that was a bit, that when they moved me to private hospital.
Well, initially she was in a public hospital, yeah, which did a great job for her head injury. But again, that was their primary kind of focus. She was in ICU, which they only had two beds for ICU, and it was not the greatest. They did great for what they could, but, you know, for infection and things like that, it wasn't the right place to be. So luckily, my parents kind of had the foresight to move her into private hospital, which I think if she had stayed there, she probably would have died or something serious happened, because she did subsequently get a head infection, which then required emergency surgery. Absolutely, yeah.
Anywhere, yes, but
this, there was one thing that they couldn't have known, the internal bleeding. They wouldn't have picked up on it hadn't they moved me, and then they flew.
The problem was just because that hospital was so overrun.
Yes.
So, for instance, with the infection, she got moved out of ICU too soon because they didn't have the facilities.
So the litany of your injuries. What? Just because we'll go back to how you felt and everything, but just to give the
who's better at this list. Well, right. Start better. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
She had a brain bleed, which she had surgery on. She had broken cheekbone, eye socket, fractured nose. Broken shoulder blade, which she had broken collarbone, which she needed surgery. A punctured lung, some of her lung removed. A blood clot.
Ribs.
10 broken ribs, a broken wrist, which she needed surgery on, and I think that was it.
That
was in May. But all of it honestly healed. I think while I was knocked out for the first month, it did a lot of healing. I don't know, like it was weird to lie on my side, but I think I've recovered much quicker than I would have imagined.
Okay.
Had I read that list.
So when did you come through then? When did you start realising?
I put it around my birthday in June, mid-June, in the hospitals, when I started being like more coherent and aware of where I was, being able to pick up and like feeling uncomfortable. And then we went home.
6 weeks after it happened. So like
mid-July. So then we went home, and I don't know, it's funny how quickly I came along at the end. Like the last few days in hospital, each day I could walk, you know, I had to be walked around, like 50 meters was a lot, but it's crazy how just every day it got much better, much quicker. But I think, again, that's down to rest and the care. So we were saying about the hospital before, the original one, although they did the best they could, the second one was outstanding, like the best healthcare. Every doctor that I've seen here, when they see my x-rays, because I'm following up here, they're like, incredible work. So I was really, really lucky. Yeah, Thai hospitals are incredible.
Okay.
Yeah.
So will you explain to me, then go back to where we started, this dint inside your head. So they had to get at your brain because of the bleed.
So she had several skull fractures, which obviously caused the brain bleed, which they cleared that up. They had put a plate in, but because of the infection, there was foreign debris in her head and the infection didn't clear. So they went in for emergency surgery, and then they monitored for a week, and then they were like, it's not clearing. So they had to go in back in surgery and destroy the skull because they couldn't tell what was causing the infection.
To eliminate any...
Yeah, so they had to remove all... She had a socket lifting her eye, a made socket, so they had to remove everything. So that's why she has the dent. So now for the last 6 months, they've had to let that recover, and then she'll go back in for surgery to get a plate put back in, so she'll look normal. I had a socket kind of made for the infection.
Let's just say I looked relatively normal, although bruised and everything in the hospital. I was normal, and then normal, whatever that means. And the infection, I remember just signing something saying they could crush my skull. And then afterwards I was like, oh God, I regret that. But obviously there was no choice in the matter.
But if you had a fringe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, to be honest, if they hadn't shaved my head, I could probably cover most of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an optical illusion. If you turn to the right, you can see the dent, but head on, people don't see it. It's strange. It's not as bad as you'd think, but the more time goes on, like, I'll just be sitting there and I'm like, oh, that's bizarre. It's bizarre.
So have you any curiosity about the accident?
Mildly. I mean... Yes, because do you know what, that island and where it was, it's kind of strange. Like Bali, I'd be less shocked about an accident. This island was quite, you don't drive that fast. So the fact that it happened at all confused me, but I don't know where I got this information or if I imagined it. But in the hospital, I remember hearing somebody say that he drove into a wall, and I would assume not that fast. So I'm more just curious how it happened. But beyond that, I'm like, less details, the better. I don't need to know. Do you know, in terms of injuries?
You don't know who he is or?
No, but we do have his information. Right. I think my friend tracked it down, I believe. I don't know how. And he's mildly been in touch. But I was saying I was lucky at the beginning. My dad and my sister took over everything I had to do when I came home. I was still quite raw. So they kind of took it upon themselves to contact him. But he got kind of quiet and only wanted to speak to me, and of course I didn't want to talk to anybody, so yeah, it kind of ended there. It's a bit of a shame because it would be nice to have stuff filled in and stuff, but obviously I don't know, the guy was scared. I think he fled the next day.
Right.
Fled, I don't know if that's fair to say, if he was going, leaving anyway, but let's just say he just...
And what nationality, and have you any idea what nationality he is?
He's French, living in the UK, right. I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
So not the best case, but there's been worse. So
what about regrets, you know, because you know this turned back the clocks of the hands of time and the what ifs.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't go out that night, if you didn't get on the back of the moped. Do you go through that a lot, or
obviously mildly? I try not to regret anything because what's the point, but with this case it's kind of hard not to. Look, going out that night, you could regret than any bad thing, but in terms of, my insurance had ran out for 2 weeks. I had no insurance, and that probably has been the biggest strain because I've come through it. That would be my biggest regret. That's something I should have foreseen and didn't, but I'm just happy now. To be an advocate, the amount of people that have been like, because obviously it's a terrible thing and very negligent on my part, but the amount of people that are like, oh, thank you, I'm getting my insurance now because right. I just thought I'd be fine.
And what else could you have done?
Well, so helmets there can be quite flimsy. I don't remember, so I can't say for sure what happened. I would assume I wore a helmet, but the point is, when you rent a bike, they barely even tie up sometimes. So when I was in Bali, I'd actually bought my own helmet, and that would be my recommendation or my regret is, don't, if it doesn't tie, it's not really a helmet.
So you don't know for sure.
I couldn't say for sure, to be honest, because yeah. I don't remember.
And there's no photographs or anything.
No, there's no.
It's mad in this world we live in that there's no video evidence.
Well, this island's a bit funny, so I'm not surprised there. Had it been here, there probably would have been a lot more details filled in.
Yeah.
Probably also exactly just me being out of it and so chilled. We didn't knuckle down and find out. There was more important pressing things
yes,
at the
course,
time.
Yes, of course, of course. Staying alive, I suppose.
Yeah, one exactly.
Of them,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's funny. The more time's gone on, the more curious, or the more that I'm discussing with doctors here, I'm like, it would be good to know. I'm just more curious. And as good as the healthcare was in Thailand and extensive, and we have a book of reports, it would still just be nice to follow up now that I'm coherent.
Because there are specialists who can look at your injuries and then tell you how those injuries came about.
Yeah, and they are. It's funny. Like, no, I'm getting great care here as well, but it's, you have an appointment, kind of touch base, okay, come in a month, and you kind of do that a few times. Mm. And they're finding out, you know, through the reports and through 3D scans now, that's how I found out about the nose. I didn't know that was fractured. I think there's just too much going on to have a clear...
Yeah.
coherent story of the whole thing.
And have you spoken to anybody sort of about the psychological side of it?
I haven't, but it's been a question if, well, apparently you kind of experience PTSD or whatever yes. more than you would realise. So I'm like, I'd be open to it, but I was like, I can't afford that now. So I haven't gone down that route. But I think it's somewhere in the back of my mind just to make sure that it's not affecting me. Because in a way I feel it's fine, but then I think it's the way it shakes up your whole life and the guilt and the everything else associated with your family and your friends getting a scare. That kind of affects you and it's hard because you can't just move on straight away because you're waiting for the surgery and it's just kind of like lingering part of your life.
And do you feel like a different person?
I don't know. I'd like to say more responsible, I suppose.
Right, right.
I don't know. I think I've gone into myself a bit, actually. Just because I'm very used to being alone now. I think I'm just ready for the next phase.
Has she become a different person, Daisy?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think time will tell. Like, yeah. Because now it's just, yeah, it's a weird, it's kind of like
I'm like in a waiting room.
It's kind of like a version of COVID all over again. Like she's just kind of sat there kind of just waiting.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that usually... My job is, I'm a chef on yachts. That's been my job for a while. And where I got a hit in the head is exactly where you would need to get hit to lose your sense of smell and taste. So that has thrown an extra what? That's why No, I have. I've lost my sense of smell and taste.
Oh, have you?
So that's, for me, that's the really...
Well, that's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, I can slightly taste and it might come back. But for that extra reason, I really don't know what to do with the future now.
Yeah.
So my career, it's still in limbo. And to be fair, yachting is a young person's game anyway. But that's just, it's annoying because that, to have a plan would kind of be quite uplifting. And starting from scratch... In all senses, it's a bit daunting, but I'm just trying to take it as a positive.
What age are you, do you mind me asking?
34.
34. Well, that's a big thing, smell and taste, even if you weren't a chef.
Yeah, it's a bit bizarre. The smell thing's weirder than you'd think, because that's 0%, and you don't realise how often you use it.
70% of taste is smell.
Well, exactly, yeah. So that's kind of why I can tell something's spicy or this or that. Like, that's not all gone, but yeah, I think the lack of smell kind of creates it.
Oh, poor thing. Yeah. So a lot of medical expenses, and despite the fact you said your folks were able to handle the flight costs, I'm just looking at the costs here. So you have a GoFundMe page, which you're probably a little bit uncomfortable with. Are you? You're okay with? Yeah. But there you go. So it's support for Bonnie's medical bills. GoFundMe support for Bonnie's medical bills. And Below Deck is, are you? What did you tell me the last time you were in?
I have a season out at the moment.
Yes.
So we're on season 5. Halfway through the season, so yeah, that's airing at the moment.
Big fan of Below Deck, says this person. Was delighted when Daisy became part of the crew and the fellow dub. Glad to hear Bonnie is doing well now, and hopefully she'll be okay going forward. Going sweet. Forward.
Yes. Yeah.
Onwards and upwards.
Yeah, well you're in good spirits. Or is that just for the radio? Or,
you're in good spirits. To be honest, that's the first thing. Everyone's like, wow, you seem normal. I'm like,
I
have to remind myself it was so recent, but that's why it's tricky that physically I got better quite quick, but not good enough to work. But it, also, it's just limbo. But I do think it was more stressful for the family and
the people around you,
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so a cautionary tale, holiday insurance and
insurance
and
please.
Helmets.
Yes, I know, honestly, insurance is just, I know for most people that's obvious, but check your kids.
Okay. Daisy, good to see you again.
Yes, thank you.
Bonnie, mind yourself.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with the recovery, if that's how you put it.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.